Welcome to On the Mic Podcast. This is your host, Tim Drake. On today's episode, I sat down with executive producer of the Radio from Hell show and my boss, Richie T. Stedman. It was great to talk with Richie in a little bit more formal of a setting. I see the guy pretty much every day, and we always have a lot of fun around the studio, so I thought, you know, finally time to capture all of that on the mics and just talk a little bit more about comedy. Richie's always had a great love for comedy. He's a fantastic improviser. I'm always telling him he needs to come out to open mic and start doing more stand-up because he's absolutely hilarious. So it was fun to sit down and talk with him. He's a man of many titles other than just the executive producer of the Radio from Hell show. He also hosts a few different podcasts with Meet the Band, that's a music-based podcast, as well as the Cultural Hall podcast, which is a religious podcast. He also hosts a new web show that has shot a few different interview episodes called Let's Get Real. It's about the Real soccer team here in Salt Lake. It's a really fun show where he sits down with players, kind of talks about their background, and learns a lot more about the team. Richie has also recently been on America's Got Talent with part of the Bald Man Bongos. They didn't do that hot, but it was really funny to watch and enjoyable. So I thought that we would talk with Richie, learn a little bit more about, you know, kind of what's, you know, got him started into comedy. Forgot that Richie had even been part of Second City a while back, taking some improv classes there. So it ended up being a lot of fun. Not a ton to promote this week. Make sure you do go on, check out some of the coverage I had with FantasyCon. It was a lot of time being able to meet people such as Sean Astin from Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, Rudy, The Goonies. There's nothing cooler during his panel than when he yelled out, "Goonies never say die." He also recited part of his speech that he gives to Frodo during the Two Towers. It was absolutely incredible. Meeting Simon Pegg was a dream come true. I've always been a fan of Simon Pegg. I've always loved his work. Everything from Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, Paul, The World's End. It was just fantastic to talk to him. He's a super nice guy. As well as Mark Shepard from Supernatural. Any of you guys that are fans of Supernatural out there know how great he is as Crowley. He was also in Firefly for a bit, Doctor Who, Battlestar Galactica. He's always just been one of my favorites, especially as he took on the role of Crowley. And it was kind of cool knowing that, you know, this guy plays the King of Hell. And he was just an absolutely incredible person. For the King of Hell, he was one of the nicest guys possible. Make sure you log on, check out my coverage there. You can also find some of that coverage as well on x96.com, where I did a little bit of writing for them. Coming up over the next few months, you'll be able to find some of my reviews, some of my writing, up on the Salt Lake Comic Con website as I am blogging for them and doing some write-ups on some of the celebrity guests that we have coming this September, as well as some movie and TV stuff. Right now, I'm writing a little bit on the Guardians of the Galaxy that's coming out in August. It's a movie you guys are not going to want to miss. It looks absolutely fantastic. I could not be more excited for it. Hope you guys enjoy this episode. Again, thank you, Richie T, for taking the time to sit down. I know it's been absolutely insane around the studio as we get ready to move into the brand new big Broadway Media Building downtown Salt Lake. So thank you, Richie. Everybody, enjoy this episode with Richie T. Stedman. A lot more formal.
Okay.
So, and this was just bullshit.
Okay.
So that's the way we do it.
All right.
So I think this is the earliest show I've done.
Yeah?
Like when we've come in here on the weekends, it's been 9 o'clock-ish.
You're like noon. Hey, yeah. It's 3 p.m. We're going to get this done early.
So the nice thing about it this early though is we always look out this window and find something absolutely random.
Yeah.
When we had Jay Whitaker in here. There was a guy at the light that had like a massive tricycle.
There you go.
Where he'd clearly just stolen one of the wheels from somewhere, or just purchased it. Like it still had like the big cardboard on.
Yeah.
But he was wearing like biker chains.
I would think you'd have to be careful with big biker chains on a huge tricycle, but
yeah, it'd get like caught in the wheel.
You ever had that happen?
Not recently.
But like where something's gotten caught in your chain before?
Oh, yeah. It caused a rash for like a month.
For real?
Yeah.
Mine just almost ripped my leg off. Mine was on my religiously affiliated vacation where I was like, I'm too good for the tuck because the tuck looks stupid where you tuck your pants into your sock. I was like, I'm way too good for this. I'm not going to tuck my, And then I, you know, the chain got caught in my pants and I about ripped my leg off. And I went, I'm not too good for the tuck anymore. I think I'll start tucking.
But for my very, very, very short-lived religious affiliated vacation, the first time I had to go out on bikes, the companion I was with was just like, oh, he knew the area. She's like, oh, we'll just go down this little embankment.
Sure.
And he just, he was a biker. So he was just flying as it was, and I was trying to keep up.
Yeah.
So I make the sharp turn with him. And that's one of the few times that my life has flashed before my eyes. I thought I was going to end up at the bottom of that dead.
Really?
It was such a steep drop.
Jeez. Where were you at again?
Minnesota.
Okay.
And going down the thing, I just remember bouncing on the bike. And I mean, I had a helmet on and everything. But I just remember looking down and I was just like, I can't stop. Yeah. I can't stop. I'm going to die.
I will die here in just a second in Minnesota.
Ugh. Yeah. Going to Minnesota, not even being able to go to the Mall of America or anything. I went there in a suit and tie.
They wouldn't let you go to the Mall of America?
No, they banned it.
Oh, my gosh.
So there were some other missionaries at the time that had gone into the Hooters there and taken a picture with the Hooters girls.
Jeez.
Because, you know, when you commit a morality crime or something of that
you
nature.
You want to make sure you get a picture.
Document that.
And pre-Facebook, so you're just taking a picture for you.
Facebook had been up. I think MySpace was still a thing at the time. MySpace was still coming about. Websites, people were still making websites with angelfire.com, which bit me in the ass plenty of times because I would always say it wrong. Uh-huh. And I remember telling a kid that was joining a band I was in at the time, it's anglefire.com.
Yeah.
And Anglefire was a porn site.
Oh, no.
And I'd met this kid at a religious affiliated event, telling him, yeah, come join this band that I'm in. And his parents wanted to check it out. And I said, yeah, go to our website.
Oh, geez.
Never heard from that kid again. Yeah.
I regret to inform you, I can't be part of your band. And my bishop said I'm not allowed to leave the house for 6 weeks.
I mean, my parents are into kinky shit. But
yeah,
not like this. No. So now, I mean, I think it's fun to have you onto this show now, because I mean, at this point,
what is this show called?
You know, it depends on
what project are we working on.
Which one of my many projects?
You got 1,000. What is this?
I'll check my calendar. I'll get back to you on that.
I'm looking around for a sign or a logo. What are we doing? What is this?
So, but it's fun to have you on at this point, because I mean, at this point, you've been pretty much my boss in one nature for like 9 months now.
Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I realized I needed to update my letter of recommendation for you. Because I was sending that out like 4 months ago. And so I realized I'd handed an interview off, or an application off to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it and I was like, yeah, the times don't
match up
from this to my resume.
According to this, Tim, you've disappeared for the last 5 months. What have you been doing? Inepted. Yeah, right.
So, but I mean, it's been a good way to get to know more of you. I mean, when I first started seeing Richie T everywhere, it was just with
annoying.
It was just in random ads for Radio from Hell.
Oh, really?
And random pictures of you missing teeth.
Mm-hmm.
So I know one of my favorite pictures I've told you before is one you'd posted on your Facebook probably 5 years ago.
Okay.
With a goat.
Oh yeah. You know where that picture came from? I was at a remote in Heber City. And the way that they thought that they would make that radio remote, it was at a Les Schwab at a tire place. The way that they thought they would get more people to come out to that remote was they had a petting zoo in the parking lot. And so it was baby goat, there was a baby duck, and then I want to say there was like a deer or something ridiculous, like a dick or a deer or something. You could come by and get your picture taken with the baby deer or the dick, and it was like, all right, way to go, Heber City. And here's the thing that was to boot, though. Lots of people came to that remote, and they're like, a petting zoo!
Well, it's because it was Utah's favorite, you know, four-letter F word. Yeah. Free.
Oh, I thought you said goat.
Goat is my favorite four-letter F word.
That's what it is. I get confused.
No, yeah. it was a free event. But I think they should do that at every remote.
A petting zoo?
A petting zoo.
I don't know that I can handle the pictures.
I mean, the only remote I did with you that, I mean, it kind of was. I mean, somebody brought a dog.
Where was this?
That was Mountain America in Saratoga Springs.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That was miserable. With the pumpkins? Wasn't that the one with the pumpkins?
Yeah, the ones with the pumpkins.
And again, something where people are like, you know what we'll do? We'll give them free pumpkins. That will get people to come.
The funniest thing about that, I thought, was that we were doing a remote in Saratoga Springs and hoping people would come to this remote in Saratoga Springs where nobody can hear the show because the signal down there is terrible.
Yeah. I know you can't actually hear us where we're at, but come and get a free pumpkin. And there's a dog.
And that was where I had to explain to you guys that that city, too, smells like shit about three times a day.
Right?
Because I remember the dog came and all of you guys were like, did the dog poop? Like, where's that smell coming
just
from?
Just the city. It's
and
just
it really
the city.
Is three times a day.
Is it marked out at a time?
I believe so.
Because, like, Ogden smells like dog food at, like, 10:30 in the morning, right? Because they got that plant up there.
I think that's just all the old people out there.
No, it's the dog, the Purina, whatever. But it really is every day. And then here in South Salt Lake is you're driving I-15. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but 33rd South smells like French toast at 5:30 in the morning. Have you ever noticed that?
No, but now every time I drive past, I'm going to sniff.
At about 11 a.m., it smells like toast. Different. It's a different, like a dry toast, and then there's like a French toast.
It's like flu toast and then happy toast.
Yeah.
See, what? It's going to be in like my mental cue now.
Flu toast.
that every time I go past that, I'm going to sniff out of my subconscious.
It really does. It smells like it.
I caught myself doing that with a skunk that had been hit by my house.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'd noticed that you could smell the skunk about 10 seconds after you passed the skunk.
Sure.
It was a delayed smell.
Sure.
And after about a week of noticing this, I caught myself driving past it and then kind of going, and then I was like, why did I just sniff for the skunk?
Why did I want that?
It was a mind cue that about this point comes skunk smell.
Yeah, here comes Pavlovian skunk smell. I like the term flu toast. I can't get past that.
That's what I always remember having when I had the flu. You had dry toast and Sprite.
And it's terrible.
Yeah.
But it's flu toast. It's perfect because everyone knows what it is. It's a piece of bread, white bread, probably Wonder Bread, nothing valuable in nutrition in it at all, with nothing on it. And it always is accompanied by some sort of clear, bubbly beverage.
See, but in my household, it wasn't white bread. It was always wheat bread.
Oh, it was?
Because my mom is a health fanatic.
Oh, I can tell.
Like, beyond health fanatic. Yeah. So this is the embodiment of if I ate my mother four different times, and that sounds absolutely terrible.
It just seems like rebellion against your mother. You're like, I was raised being healthy.
Who was raised me as I cry and eat Taco Bell from each side of me. But she always made us have wheat bread. And I remember when I was still a good church-going boy, I would go to bring bread for the sacrament. Mm-hmm. And they always knew when it was either me or my brothers that were in charge of it because it would be wheat bread.
And you always see the people that are go, is this racist? Yeah. Are we saying Jesus was black by his, you know?
No, I think we'd be stating that Jesus went to Whole Foods and was a hipster.
Yeah, that's what it was.
This is multigrain. There's flaxseed in this.
This was pre-hipster, though, so it's like, I think Jesus is a trendsetter right now.
I'd started doing a kind of Jesus hipster joke with some new stand-up of asking if when World War One started, the whole Nazi movement started. Mm-hmm. If the Romans got all hipstery about it because they were killing Jews before it was
okay.
Cool.
Okay, sure. Listen, guys, we've been doing this for a long time.
It was one of those where I had never made an audience more uncomfortable with a joke, and there was like two people from the back that I got a hearty laugh from. Yeah. But those don't count because those are the other comics there.
Yeah, those are the people that are laughing, going, "Boy, I bet he wishes that went better." Yeah.
And it was one of those where it made me laugh on stage because I was like, "Yeah, that went about how I thought that was going to go over."
Yeah, that was offensive. I'll take that.
What's funny is that was the better offensive line of the two I wrote.
Oh no, you obviously remember the other one. What was the other one?
Well, the bit goes on about how it starts off with saying that how pissed off would Fox News be if it turned out that Jesus was just marrying Joseph's Hispanic gardener.
Oh, jeez.
And then saying that so the INS, they weren't pissed off because he said he was the son of God.
Mm-hmm.
They were just INS.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus didn't have his papers.
Sure.
And then the next joke from there was that and it wasn't fully written out, but it was along the lines of, that seems to kind of be a Jewish issue.
Uh-huh. Meanwhile, every Christian in this place is ready to string you up. Squeak.
Well, see, because the rest of the bit then goes on about him making his own cross on accident. Mm.
So really sensitive, yeah. Really.
I talked to Travis Tate the following day because I was like, I was kind of rattled as I took the stage that day. Uh-huh. I just come from my lovely part-time job that keeps me in a wonderful state of mind at all times. And so like my brain was a little rattled and I wasn't feeling it that day, but I was just like, I've got to do this. I got up on stage. And it's like, it went okay. But as I talked to Travis afterwards, he's like, yeah, it was really dark. That was a really dark set for you. And I was like, oh, didn't realize it went that way.
Yeah.
It's like it started off with a Walking Dead necrophilia joke and then moved to some crucifixion jokes.
Why is it that every comedian has to do a necrophilia or a kid with AIDS joke just to feel like...
See, and I've never tried to worry about an AIDS joke. So, but somehow the necrophilia joke, it just kind of popped into my head one day and I had to go with it.
Oh, yeah.
So there was no turning back once I did.
Yeah, you can't really turn around from that, I suppose.
Yeah, if it makes me giggle by myself.
Yeah.
And then I'll try it out on about 10 different people, and if it at least makes them giggle. Or I know Jordan Mazziotti and I talked about, we go with our Facebook standard. If it gets at least 10 likes, then it's worth trying on stage.
You know, though, I can make most people like something, and I know that some of those things are not funny. You know what I'm saying?
But, because I'll make a stupid poop joke or just an absolutely stupid dick joke.
Right.
And it'll get 50 likes.
Yeah, and it's
then
like,
I make a really, really smart joke. And it gets like 4 likes.
Right.
And it's like, too smart. It was 10 times funnier.
Yeah. It's overthinking it. Do you think that's what it is?
Oh, it's definitely that, but it depends on the audience because I have a great Doctor Who bit.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. but if people haven't really paid attention, it goes right over their head.
Mm-hmm.
And when the last time I tried it was the night before Chris Hardwick was in town.
Okay.
And it fell flat. And I told my wife was at the show, and I said, this joke's going to fall flat. I'm sure of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it got about 5 or 6 laughs. And Chris Hardwick does a bit similar the prior night, just making reference to some previous Doctor Who, and it just killed. And I was just like, see, if that joke in this crowd would have just hit.
Sure.
But in the wrong crowd, it was.
And that's when he tarted. Huh? Huh? Who's with me? Isn't that funny? He tarted like a TARDIS. Nobody? Nothing? What? And see, that's where I feel like I could make about any joke at least get, you know.
I want to see that on a shirt. I mean, David Tennant, who was one of the previous doctors, always is posting all of these different Doctor Who pun shirts, and I have not seen that one.
Yeah, I think it's dumb. I don't get Doctor Who. I want to because there are so many people that are so fanatical about it, like I'd like to get it. I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to be fanatical about it, but I'd like to understand the whole thing, and I just don't.
I've been watching it for about a year now, and I don't know that I fully understand it.
But you watch you've been watching it for a year now.
And I understand where I'm at. I didn't start at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I started about halfway through, and a lot of people, I know John Smith and I had both been asking people, where do we start on this? Because, I mean, we're going into the 13th Doctor now? 12th Doctor?
Right, so it's been like hundreds of years, right?
Yeah.
Like he used to be a radio program before it was...
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, back in England.
Yeah.
And so John Smith and I both have been asking people, well, where should we start?
Mm-hmm.
And said, oh, you start with Eccleston. He was the right Doctor. No, you start with Tennant and people get really upset.
And that's when my eyes gloss over and I go, you know what? Never mind. Never mind.
So I just started at random, basically where one of the Netflix series started.
You're like, this will be easy.
And I was like, okay, I recognize this name, so I'm just going to start here. And that's where it worked for me. So, but it was funny because my wife had refused to, she was not going to get involved with Doctor Who. She's like, I don't need another show to keep track of. And she just started reading a book while I had turned it on. And slowly she starts pulling the book down. And then about 5 minutes, she had laid the book to the side. She's like, damn it. she was locked into another show.
Is it a thing now that you guys do together? Would you watch an episode of Doctor Who without her?
No.
Okay.
No, because then I'm going to jump ahead and then I'm going to have something that I can't talk about.
Right.
that because I can't ever stop talking around her, mm-hmm. that she's just going to get pissed off about.
Does she do the shut up, Tim?
Yes.
Yeah?
And I don't blame her.
Just shut up. Not even about Doctor Who. I'm just saying in general where it's just like, just please.
Yeah.
I like silence occasionally. Please shut up.
That comes about 8:30 every night.
Really?
And I think it's because I'm so wound up because half my blood is caffeine by that time of the day. That I'm just like, oh, have you seen this? Have you seen this? What do you think of this joke?
I'm thinking about doing this.
No, she just shut up, and then I turn around to one of my cats and start having the conversation with them.
Come here. Come here, Mr. Biggles.
No, one of my friends, we gave that nickname.
Yeah?
We called him Mr. Bigglesworth all throughout high school because he was just really small.
Uh-huh. And hairless?
Yeah, he wasn't hairless. But for some reason, I thought Mr. Bigglesworth worked great for him. Mm-hmm. And I got like our entire neighborhood to start calling him Mr. Bigglesworth. And what's sad is that the obvious nickname was right in front of us because he looked exactly like Harry. Mm-hmm. Well, basically French Stewart. Mm-hmm. Looks exactly like him. He was just like a small embodiment of him.
Really?
There was we never went with that nickname. For some reason, it was Mr. Bigglesworth.
It was Mr. Bigglesworth. We had a kid in my elementary. I guess it was middle school. He was also my ward. Who we called Fathead because he had a huge fat head. And as it turns out, his brain had grown faster than his head could, like filled with water and something. So it was actually like a medical thing. And we were just like, hey, Fathead, right? He had a fat head. So it wasn't like we were ignorant to the fact that his head was large, but we weren't being mean about it. It wasn't like, hey, Lord, you know, it wasn't anything like that. It was just like, oh, it's Fathead. Fathead, and there's
he had a legitimate disability.
Yeah, and there's Munchie and all this stuff, and so it ended up being that we all had to have the talk to because they thought we were bullying. We're like, no, we're not being bullies. He just has a fat head. You can't not tell me he doesn't have a fat head. Well, his brain swelled, and there was water, and it caused his cranium to grow too big. Okay, he's a fat head. He has a fat head. I'm gonna call him Fathead. Until we graduated from high school. He's still a good friend of mine, which lets me know that it wasn't that offensive to him. But I think for a little while it was really tough maybe on his parents that everyone in the ward was calling him Fathead.
Did they ever get it drained or anything where it shrunk the head?
No, so I guess it like... I mean, I didn't really pay that much attention.
Sounds like old witch doctor medicine. Yeah. Shrunk the head.
Weird. As I understand it, like the water left his brain or whatever... So then it wasn't an issue, but the skull had grown or had expanded to the point that, you know, there wasn't anything that they could do. Like it'd be like if we're like, okay, we're going to take some bone out of your head now and try and make you look like a normal human being.
Didn't they do that with somebody and it like concaved like the back of their head?
Probably. Gross.
I swear I saw that on something years ago.
It was
ago.
Something on Doctor Who.
Probably was. It probably was the TARDIS hit somebody. Yeah. Is it like... Went to take off, clipped him in the back of the head, and real Whovian sightings.
Oh, eyes are glossing over. I just don't get it. I wish I could understand the Doctor Who appeal.
So now, with you and comedy,
sure.
I mean, you've been doing all sorts of comedy kind of for years, whether it's like improv, theater. So and then
stand up. I've done stand up. Don't discount me.
And you've done some stand up as well. Mm-hmm. So I've only seen you do it a couple of times, usually stalling.
Yeah, usually stalling. Oh, yeah,
something died out there.
Yeah. I think someone just got shot in the hallway. Times when it's like, all right, well, something needs to fill this part of the evening.
And it's always good, and you always discount yourself, but it's always good. I mean, the last thing I remember you talking about was your son not knowing your address.
Sure, and he doesn't know our address. He's a 16-year-old kid who's like, man, I don't know. Mom, what's our zip code? Are you kidding me?
The best part was you kept going because it was at the Radio from Hell Film Festival, mm-hmm. and you just kind of kept going, but yet at the same time, you're like, are we ready?
Are we done for this? Can I be done?
And so it made it even funnier. But I think it was even funnier to me because I was in absolute panic mode since it was my DVDs that weren't working.
Yeah, they weren't working. It was your fault that we were stalling.
So I was in the back basically shitting myself while you're up there trying to make people laugh. And so I'm laughing out of pure uncomfortableness as well.
So it wasn't actually that funny. You were just super uncomfortable.
It was probably just as funny as it was coming across to me. But I would love to like listen to like a playback of that. Hmm. And I would bet that somewhere... You can hear me all the way in the back. Just, Just very, very uncomfortable laughter the entire time.
Is this working yet? Do we know that it's working? Is it working? Can someone figure out? Is this working now? No? Okay, we're good. We're good? No, we're not good. And that's what I felt like the whole time. Is this fixed? We're not fixed. Is it fixed? We're good. Okay, we're not good.
What was funny is I just wanted it to start, and I was supposed to be getting home. And I texted my wife, and I'm like, all right, well, festival's starting. I'll be on my way.
Mm-hmm.
And then 20 minutes later, something's going on here. I'll be there shortly.
She's like,
another 20 minutes.
She's like, hallelujah, I'm going to have a moment of silence tonight. I mean, see you as soon as I can.
I'm expecting to come home one of these times, and there's just going to be like a dog muzzle on the counter. And I'll be like, oh, really? And she'll be like, no, I just want you to shut up.
Yeah. You're like, No. Just shh.
Yeah, that are like a horse bit. So yeah.
I just feel like I look at them the way the horses. I don't know how that just doesn't kill their teeth. You know, maybe it does.
Probably does.
But the idea of a big metal bar going across your. Sorry, I get distracted.
But with all the comedy and stuff that you've done, uh-huh. A couple of years ago you started the Salt Lake Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
So what kind of inspired you to get that going and to make it something that Salt Lake? I was kind of surprised Salt Lake already didn't have. Something like that, as great as the comedy scene is here.
Yeah. Let's see. What year are we in right now? It's 2014. So in 2009, I went out to Chicago, went to clown school, went to Second City and did some stuff as well. And while I was out there, I talked to a few people who were involved with like the Chicago Improv Festival and this Chicago Sketch Fest. And I started thinking about it, and I was like, you know what? I don't think that Utah has any of this kind of stuff. And when I came home, it became pretty apparent to me after I met my now wife, but then girlfriend, that Salt Lake was going to be the place where I was planted. Making it to Chicago or making it and living somewhere else was not going to be a thing I was going to be able to do. And so... the idea of grow where you're planted stuck pretty well with me. And I was like, you know what? I really think that that Salt Lake should have a comedy festival. So I kind of looked into it. I did some Google searching. And I found out that, you know, that we didn't have one. And so then I was like, well, what, you know, what, when should it be? When, what will we do? And at that time, there was a woman by the name of Amy Brown Allred, who I had... worked with for the Utah Battle of the Improvs, and her and I said, you know what, we could do a Salt Lake Comedy Festival. Why don't we do it? And so we picked it to be the first weekend in June of 2010. That was the first year, I want to say. And we put it together and said, hey, let's do it. And we did it at the Grand Theater in Salt Lake, and it was a couple days, and the Grand Theater was way too big. But we did classes, and the classes were well attended, and these were people, the people who taught the classes were people who were friends of mine who came out and supported it, and you know, to me, it's one of those things where I think of just, you know, an opportunity for people to, who are from Salt Lake, to be able to share their talents with other people who may not normally come out and see stand-up or come out and see sketch or come out and see improv. But also just a kind of a way to celebrate talent from Salt Lake. But like those classes, for example, so that first year I want to say was 2010, and Keith Stubbs, who owns the Wise Guys in Salt Lake and in Ogden and West Valley, who does the open mic that you attend, he taught a class. And one of the people who attended that class was Travis Tate. And Travis Tate had never done stand-up before the Salt Lake Comedy Festival. So... he came out and went to the class and then after that started doing stand-up. And it was rough at first for him, obviously. But then, you know, as he grew and continued to do it, now he's someone who will open and who will, you know, headline at a Wise Guys every now and then. So for me to know that even though I didn't do the work that Travis has done, and he's done a tremendous amount, and he's really great, to think that I had a small portion of, you know, what helped encourage him to do what he wanted to do, or that gave him the oomph to get over the ledge to get to where he wanted to be, is pretty cool. And I think that there are other stories of other people that exist out there from the Salt Lake Comedy Festival.
And I would even say it had that impact on me even last year.
Okay.
So, I mean, I last year was the first year I'd been able to attend anything with it. And it was where I had first really started jumping into comedy more and more and mm-hmm. more. And just being around that environment definitely gave me a lot more of a push to really jump in and start, you know, making that a craft of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I mean, some of the people that you had there, whether it was some of the comedy musicians, mm-hmm. because we got to it was the improv night at the Murray Theater last year.
Okay.
And some of them got there really early as we were setting up to do the episode of My House on the Moon.
Uh-huh.
And just talking to them just pre-show and stuff. It was inspiring just being around the culture of it.
Sure.
Because, I mean, I don't know if you know this, you were the first interview we really had on the show. We had done one right before it for our theme song.
Now, what project is this we're talking about?
with Miles on the Moon.
Is that a thing?
Not anymore.
That was a thing,
though. Was a thing, though.
That was a thing that was a project of yours.
Yes.
That's not this thing, though.
Not this thing.
This is not My House on the Moon.
No.
This is something else that is not My House on the Moon because that was that thing. And we're not doing that thing anymore because that's done.
Right.
This is a different thing.
This is a different thing. That's not that thing.
Is this the job interview? Is that what we're doing right now?
No, you did that one
no,
already.
No, we already did that
yeah,
already.
Yeah, you nailed that one.
That's something else that you did, but that's not this right now.
Correct.
So what is it we're doing?
This is... I just cannot put my finger on it.
Is this comedians getting coffee? Is that what this is?
I have my coffee.
Yeah.
But you might...
Where's
mine? You have your caffeine-free Mountain Dew somewhere.
I don't even have water. That's not what this is. What is this thing? What are we doing? What is this called?
I can't remember which comedian I heard say that he calls comedians in cars getting coffee, millionaires wearing seatbelts.
Yay! That's awesome.
I can't remember who it was. I want to say it was Dave Attell that I heard say that.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. I watched a thing last night that says circling around Facebook of David Letterman talking to Jerry Seinfeld about why comedians in cars getting coffee works. It's like an hour long.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's basically just a video podcast, really.
Yeah, but have you seen the whole
yeah.
thing? That's great.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I was like, yeah, okay. I get you, Jerry. I see where you're coming from on this. I see why it had to be this format. I see... You know, and then you just see the brilliance in the editing because the raw footage of that is so terrible.
Yeah.
So terrible.
It's amazing that he could make a second show really about nothing.
Yeah.
And still have it work.
And people love it.
Yeah. I mean, it's the caliber of comedy, too, that he has.
Sure.
On the show.
So yeah, it's your Sarah Silverman's yeah. and David Letterman keeps ranting and raving about Sarah Jessica Parker, which I haven't seen that episode, but...
It's shot really weird. I mean, they had to frame right to get more than just her nose in the
yeah,
shot.
Yeah, yo. But... Can you imagine? It's just her nose in every shot.
That would be great if they it was just a tight shot just on her nose. But it kind of like every time she talked, it was like the mom on Charlie Brown because everything else is just muffled from the nose. But then Jerry just never attributes anything to him.
So that's not what this is? This is not comedians in cars getting coffee. Okay.
We can claim it is.
Well, listen, whatever
it may get us more than like 6 listeners.
Listen, whatever this project is, I'm in support of it. I fully support this project. Tim's project, this one.
Which one of us has more random projects, do you think, going on at this point?
Don't get me started. I have no idea, but I need to... I'm going to start taking some classes in the fall. They're called No Classes. It's going to teach me the principle and value of the word no.
I've told myself I'm going to take those same classes, mm-hmm. but then I instead accept like another project.
Right,
and I'm just like, no, I'll do this instead.
I think the theory for me is like, this could be the thing.
Yeah.
This next project could be the thing. So I've got this thing. That thing's good. People like that thing, but people don't love that thing. That thing hasn't gone viral. That thing is not, you know, that's not the thing. That's a thing. Okay, so I got that. And then it's like, hey, you have an opportunity to do this thing. Okay, I'll do that. That sounds like that could be the thing. That thing right there could be the thing that I want. You bet, I'm on board. So then I'm doing the thing, and I go, all right, well, I'm not paying as much attention to that thing over there anymore, am I? So I hope this is the thing, and then this thing ends up not being the thing, and then it's someone comes along and goes, how about this thing? Yeah!
I I feel like I have so much going on sometimes. I'm like the uncle on It's a Wonderful Life where I just have the strings on my fingers.
Yeah.
So, but I can't remember what half of them are there for.
And you don't remember where you put $8,000 and you're going to put an entire town out of debt. I feel the same way.
See, I've done that once, actually.
Have you really misplaced that much money?
It wasn't my fault, actually. It was one of my employees years ago.
Old man Porter!
He had put our bank deposit on top, like on top of the inside of the till, and so when it closed, it ended up falling behind.
Oh, geez.
And I thought he had just made the deposit because we usually made the deposit each night. And
you make the deposit.
4 or 5 days later, I get a call from one of our accountants. She's like, this is during the holiday, so it was about a $10,000 deposit.
Jeez.
And he was just so. You guys are missing a deposit from the other day. I was like, I've got the deposit slip right here, like the carbon copy. We've made this deposit. I know we've made this deposit. No, you haven't made that deposit.
Yeah. Well, let me look in my car. I'll call you right back.
And I almost threw up immediately because I knew that was going to come out of my pocket otherwise. Yeah. And so, like, I called my buddy, and he's like, no, like, it should be in the store. And I was like, wait, so you left all that money sitting in the store. You didn't deposit it. Yeah, I thought you were going to deposit it the next morning. No.
You're like, yeah, I would have if I would have seen it.
And so I was searching high and low, and it wasn't until I started taking apart the register pretty much.
Oh, my gosh.
That I found it sitting underneath.
Oh, my gosh.
So I know that worry of misplacing that much money momentarily.
I'll take all my money from the bank, sir. I hate that part of that movie. You hate that one person and It's a Wonderful Life. I've got $241 in the bank, and I'll take $241. And it's like, all right, jerk. Missed the point of this movie.
Yeah. That movie's always had a warm spot in my heart because Jimmy Stewart's one of my like great 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 uncles.
Shut up.
Somewhere back on my mom's
Here
side.
Here it is. Your genealogy. Yeah. Here comes your Mormon poking through. Ooh, I see your Mormon poking through right now, actually. I just looked down.
This was like it's not even like Mormon genealogy because this came from my mom's side.
And she
where
hates Mormons.
None of them. Yeah. Not my mom doesn't.
Oh.
But her entire like family pretty much has always been very anti-Mormon. So, but it's her mother's maiden name was Stewart, and it was one of those aunts and uncles there.
There's no way there's relation. She's just claiming it because her last name is Stewart. No one will ever look into this. Perfect crime.
Perfect crime. Come on, we've got this.
Yeah. Oh, it's Jimmy. It's my uncle. Do you do impressions?
I try to. When I was in high school, that was really my first bit of comedy.
What did you do?
I would always do Yoda. My friend Andrew and I would do Yoda all day long, talking back and forth.
Let's hear it.
We would just, the force is strong within this one.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And we would just sit there going back and forth. And one of our other favorites was the guy on the Men in Black that would drink the sugar water.
Oh, yeah. Water.
And we would, people would ask us to do it. We would sit there, I'd put my hands on my head like this, and we would talk just forever like that.
Yeah, those are good.
And there's the Animaniacs. I'd walk through the halls going, policy emergency, I need to policy. And
those are good. No, I think you should stick with that. Can that be your next thing? Screw it, whatever this thing is, let's not do this thing anymore. You should go back to doing that thing.
We were coming back from, I think it was from seeing Chris Hardwick, and I randomly did my Seinfeld impression, and my wife just starts laughing really hard, and she's like, when the hell did you start doing that? I'm like, well, sometimes I'm driving in the morning up to the station, I just work on impressions, because my throat's still really groggy, and she's like, really? And I was like, yeah, I sit in the car sometimes for 45 minutes, and...
And just say things back to yourself as Jerry Seinfeld. What? Like, everybody doesn't do this. That's not a thing everyone does.
It's something where it's a good way to get out road rage.
Mm-hmm.
Just, where the hell is your blinker?
What's the deal with it turning without blinkers? And that's a terrible impression.
So I'll sit there and yell at traffic trying to do Seinfeld.
Nice. Yeah, no, I can't do impressions very well. I feel like I always get like the pacing of the impression really well. Like if someone is like a fast and then slow talker, I feel like I can do that really well. But never does my voice sound at all like the impression. You know, the crucial part of the impression. So it's always like, Well, cool. I can speak in the same cadence as Kermit the Frog, but I sound like Miss Piggy or, you know, something like that.
I hope that your Kermit the Frog does not sound like Miss Piggy.
Kermit! Ah!
It sounds more just like Fozzie having a stroke.
Yeah. Hi-ho. Something from the grill, Jill. Seafood makes me ill, Gil.
That's not terrible.
That's not great. It's awful.
So Kermit has a, like a hurting spot in my chest now because of that. You had called me a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And I didn't answer my phone.
Yep. You could have interviewed Kermit the Frog and he didn't answer your phone.
I'll call Richie back later.
No, I don't need him. Maybe I don't need to speak to
Richie. Well, see, then I get your voicemail anyway, and it just has you flushing the toilet in it.
Does it really?
Yeah.
There's a flush toilet in my voicemail? Yeah.
You flush the toilet, and you're like, yep, that's right. I was just in the bathroom during this call.
Oh, the voicemail I left you. I thought you meant the voice message where it's like, please leave a message. I'm like, did I flush the toilet while I was making my voicemail message?
No, you flushed the toilet in your message to me. And so I was like, it's just a usual Richie call.
Sure.
I'll call him back in a bit here. And yeah, it was actually something incredibly important.
And you could have had Kermit the Frog on the phone.
Yeah, that would have been.
That's all right. I passed it to my brother who prepared 2.5 hours for that interview. I'm not kidding. And he recorded it and we put it out. And you can actually hear it. It's out there. But it's really good. He's like, and I knew from the second I started listening to it that it was the right choice. So I apologize it wasn't you. But you hear my brother go, Kermit, or is it Mr. the Frog? Which would you prefer that I call you? And I was just like, slow clap win. Best interview.
You know. See, I wouldn't have come up with something that witty.
Yeah. So I just was like, yeah, good pick.
Yeah,
and I don't have to get my brother a Christmas gift this year. He said, don't give me a gift. I said, done.
See, did Pepe the Prawn ever call into the show? I had tried to get that interview.
Yeah, I don't think that ever ended up happening.
So I thought about just making up my own and just pretending to be Pepe the Prawn and just talking back and forth with myself.
Yeah, and yelling at cars. What is Pepe the Prawn doing on the freeway?
Did you ever see Pete Holmes, Seinfeld, the puppet that he would do?
Uh-uh.
You have to look that up on YouTube. Pete Holmes did. It was part of the Pete Holmes show.
Okay.
Where he had a Seinfeld puppet that would come out in two bits.
That's awesome. No, I haven't seen that.
So unfortunately, Pete's show ended last week. Which was sad because he's a fantastic comedian and his show was absolutely excellent, but it just was not bringing in the viewership that it needed.
You know the cool thing though about the Pete Holmes show?
What's that?
He's actually going to be the next doctor, so that's exciting.
Chris Hardwick has a picture on his Twitter that somebody had made where it's like the actual cover of a Doctor Who fan magazine that's saying that he is the next doctor.
That Chris Hardwick is the next doctor? Jeez.
So,
why not?
I would go for it.
He's a little too short to be the next doctor, isn't he?
And I don't think the doctor can make that many dick jokes all at once.
Yeah. Chris Hardwick make a dick joke?
Never.
What?
No, with the kind of back to the comedy festival here.
Sorry, I went away from that.
It's okay. That's what we do here.
Yeah. That's what we do here on this thing.
On this thing.
What is this called?
By the end of this, we will figure it out. We will figure it out.
Project? Is that what this is?
That would be great, and I could make like really like prod rock type music for it.
Just saying.
Tim Drake Project. I like it. I like it.
I just bought timdrakeproject.com, so.
Damn it!
$2,000.
So now, is this going to be the fourth year this coming year?
I think that this next year, 2015, will be the fifth year.
So, it's continued to grow and grow and grow from just being in the Grand Theater to, now you're utilizing multiple venues. There's the film festival that's part of it, which, we were able to show part of the job interview at this last year. So, which, by the way, thank you for randomly having us on ABC4.
Oh, yeah. No, you're welcome.
So, somebody came to Johnny, who plays Marcus on the show, and randomly was just like, hey, so I saw a clip of your show on the news yesterday.
You're like, huh?
He was like, what? So, like, the next day, Austin pulled it up because Johnny had gone to him and was like, yeah, I guess we were on the news.
Yeah, it was good things you took. Yeah,
and Austin pulls it up and doesn't tell me, just posts it to Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just randomly see this post from Austin that hey, the job interview was mentioned on Good Things Utah. What?
Yeah.
I click on it, and there you are, and oh.
Talking about your stuff.
There we are. So thank you. That was
You're
good.
You're welcome.
That was good promotion. Somehow that show has brought us other weird promotion.
Sure.
So, I mean, the other day I saw an interview with the director of SLC Punk.
Okay.
And, of course, they just wrapped SLC Punk 2.
Dose.
And as I'm going through the interview, like, I was just browsing over it, and all of a sudden I see my name pop up.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell? And so I go back and actually start reading it, because I wanted to make sure they were actually talking to me. And they were. And whoever the guy is that wrote the article, I have no idea who he is. It was somebody from Slug Magazine. He mentions he's in the holding area for everybody that was in the goth scene that's in the movie. He says, and among them, local actor Tim Drake. That's all it says.
Hey.
And then just moves on. And I was just like, who?
You've achieved local actor Tim Drake status.
Yeah. And I don't know why or how.
Listen, don't question why or how. Be grateful for why or how.
I am very grateful for why or how. I'm confused as hell, but I'm grateful.
Yeah.
So with the fifth year coming up, I mean, what are some of the big plans that you're already starting to work on some of it.
I think the big plan is to do it again. Every year there seems like there's a point where we're like, are we doing this? Is this happening again? Should we do this? Because, it's a financial risk because you never know if people are going to come out. For a lot of the people that are pretty seasoned and have been around and have been a part of it before, I think some get it. Some get that it promotes comedy here in Salt Lake. But others, I don't know that they do get exactly how it is or what it is or its significance and don't get necessarily the promoting of a new generation or the chance to, you know, congratulate other people and showcase other people. So, you know, I don't know. There are some other venues that are going to be opening here in the next couple months in Salt Lake. I think the plan is to have a good portion of the Salt Lake Comedy Festival to be held at those venues. I have to be vague right now because I don't think we're allowed to talk about it. But so that's pretty exciting as far as having a new location for it. It'd be right in downtown Salt Lake, so it's pretty rad.
Just think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you do. So there's that, and then... I think the biggest thing is the decision we feel like has to be made where do we continue to have it be all locals, for locals, by locals, or do we start to open it up to the rest of the country? And I think that's the decision where we're at right now. Because, you know, like the things like the where the idea came from, the Chicago Improv Festival, it's not just people from Chicago, it's people from all over,
right,
who bring their craft there and are able to share it. And so where it's a local thing, I like the idea of being able to celebrate just people that are local Utah folks, but I think in order to give it any sort of notoriety and exclusivity, we start inviting people from other places and then only allowing a certain amount of people from Salt Lake. So I don't know. That's kind of
I think it's the smart way to do it. And it gives the locals a little bit more of a push as well, because I mean, if somebody like, you know, Mark Maron or Dave Attell or
sure,
Louis C.K., a bigger name is attached to it.
Yeah, those are the biggest names, by the
way. Yeah, those
are
the biggest names.
You're not going like middle of the road comedian. You're like, you know, Louis C.K.
But I mean, just even a middle of the road comedian. I don't want to name names because
sure.
I would hate to put somebody as middle
and they're
road.
Listening to this going, what is this Tim Drake project calling me a middle of the road comedian for?
But I mean, even some of those middle of the road guys are still going to bring a good name to the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
And make it so that those local artists are now going to have that opportunity to, you know, maybe, you know, get coached by somebody that, you know, is working as a touring comedian,
sure,
which I mean is an insanely difficult task.
Yeah.
And I think it would be a great addition to the comedy festival.
Yeah. That's probably the next step. So that's what's going on.
So now before we kind of wrap up here.
Oh, what are we wrapping?
You've
is this
got
the thing? It's done?
Just about.
Is
I think I've almost figured out.
Is this how long this thing normally runs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just about.
Have I been boring? Is that why we're wrapping early?
No, it's not. I have not pulled what I
finger wrap now. Is that
what I accidentally did on Gina when she did My House on the Moon?
Hey, hey.
I didn't have our timer. And we'd been talking for a while. And I just looked at my partner at the time, and I was like, "Hey, where's our time at?" Just so that I knew exactly where where the show was. And Gina's immediately, "Oh, I see. You just want Bill," because Bill was up next. And it was just like, no, I just, usually our time was like right in the middle so I could kind of keep the pace of the show.
Sure.
But I had no idea where our time was. And I just came across like an asshole. Just, were we almost done here?
Well, now you're coming across like it now. So can we, I'm going to go ahead and end this interview. I don't even know what this project is.
Drop the mic, throw the pen.
Good luck. Good luck in whatever this is, pal.
Then I'll just spend the rest of the time just doing impressions. Of... Yeah.
Why did he leave the studio? I don't know. It's just this awkward, bad impression conversation back and forth.
What's sad is I would probably splice together so it sounded like it was just like a regular.
Yeah. So like, oh, that's we were really like, good.
He had Seinfeld and Kermit on.
Good for them.
They're going places with this.
What is this thing project, called? Your mug says Jimmy Kimmel Live. Is that what this is?
We can go with that.
Yeah. Done. I'll take it.
I bought more merchandise at that show since when I was living in LA, I'd walk past it every other day.
Sure.
And it was just like, I got nothing to do today. Oh, there's still standby tickets available. Okay.
Yeah, you bet. I'll go watch Jimmy Kimmel.
I'll go watch Jimmy. So then it became an addiction.
Yeah.
So, which is ironic since I have my coffee.
In your addiction.
In my addiction.
Your addiction with an addiction.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's like that Leonardo DiCaprio movie.
Coffee Inception.
Coffee inside and in coffee, or an addiction inside an addiction and inside an addiction.
I like it.
I wanted to say addiction one more time. There.
Christopher Nolan's going to be listening to this and be like, that's it. That's Inception 2. Instead of a spinning top, it'll be somebody getting a misspelled name from Starbucks.
Yeah.
Do we have Leonard? Leonard.
Leonard?
Leo. So now we've got, as we talk about, you know, all of your millions of different projects.
Okay.
We have Let's Get Real.
Mm-hmm. That's so, where I interviewed the Real Salt Lake soccer players.
So it's a fun show to watch.
Thank
you. So I don't see it pushed out there enough, unfortunately.
No, I agree with you. That's one of those things where I feel like now when we start to record new episodes, we'll have a little bit of a better handle on it. And so we'll be able to push it out a little bit better. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It's one of those ones that I kind of soft started it. And now that we've got the kind of the feel for how it needs to be, what it needs to look like, and then with some regularity, how often it's going to be published, I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely fantastic, and something that I think everybody, especially here in Salt Lake, needs to check out. You have, of course, Radio from Hell.
Yeah.
That pretty much everybody knows you from.
Producer of that show, filler-in guy.
Filler. They still have not used the drop that we put in the system, like, back in November. From La Bamba.
Sure. Richie!
I have not heard them use that one. It's not even that one. It's the Not Richie!
Yeah. Not Richie! Yeah, it's there. And people are aware of it. They just make the conscious choice to not use it.
I love it just because of the random complaints. So they need to use that.
Yeah, I think so.
And then you started a music podcast.
Called Meet the Bands, meetthebands.com, you bet. Interviewing new and upcoming bands and then bands that have been around for a long time as an opportunity to not only build kind of music credibility what with being in the radio industry, but also to get information and interviews out about bands that people don't know. Because you always get the, and we do a little bit of this, but you always get the, you know, where does your music come from? Well, it comes from a place where I was really dark, and, you know, you get all that. But then it's also things like, hey, dude, yeah, I just got out of the shower. Okay, so you just got out of the shower. What part of your body do you wash first when you get in the shower? That's one of the interviews that I did most recently, and the guy, he didn't care for it. I'm like, because I'm a left arm guy. That's what I wash first. Always my left arm. Get a little of the thing and then wash the left arm.
So you think I'm a pits guy?
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because there are those things out that you can take the quiz on Facebook where what you wash first means something about your life, and then you can share it with everyone. It's like pits. My life's the pits, that kind of thing. But yeah, so meet the bands as we come back to it.
So, and the videos you did for that are my, I mean, they have been edited so well, whoever did those.
There's a guy I know that works for me. His name is Tim Drake. He's a local actor. He did those for me. So thank you, Tim Drake.
So now we actually are getting the signal.
Yeah, we need to wrap it up.
We actually are getting the signal. So,
well, I've got other projects going on this morning. I really do. That's what's happening next.
But well, thank you for letting me sit down with you. I mean, bright and early here. So it's only 7 a.m. now.
I know.
We've been at this for 15 minutes and it's only 7 a.m.
I know. Look at what happens when you get up early.
Yeah, it's.
Is it rewarding?
I'm conscious now.
Are you healthy, wealthy, and wise?
I am healthy, wealthy, and wise.
What is this thing called we just did?
Do you care if I shoot you a text about that? I'll figure it out later. Right.
Just send me a text.
I'll shoot you a text on it. We'll get this.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Richie.